Well, I'm Michael Marquardt, and welcome to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. In our next conversation with Michael Marquardt, we're going to have a conversation about the origins of LDS priesthood. Dr. Michael Quinn has said that there are three dates for the restoration of the Melchizedek priesthood: June of 1829, 1830, and 1831. I'll ask Michael Marquardt where he weighs in on that topic. Check out our conversation. Hey, I'd like to do something a little bit different out there. I'd like to get some liners for people that would say something like, "Hi, I'm John Smith from Peoria, Illinois," or wherever you're listening from, "and you're listening to Gospel Tangents." Something like that to introduce some of our videos. It'll be a lot of fun, and we can learn a little bit more about you. So just record it on your cell phone, and send it to me. Email it to gospeltangents@gmail.com, and I'll try to include you in some of our upcoming videos. It'll be a lot of fun to hear from my listeners and that sort of thing. So once again, just take a short cell phone video or other camera that you have, and just tell us who you are, where you're listening from, and you know, say something like, "You're listening to Gospel Tangents," or "I love Gospel Tangents," or something like that. All right, now back to our conversation. Well, so one of the other interesting things that I wanted to ask you about that deals with the founding of the church, I wonder if you could weigh in on this, is I know Michael Quinn has said, we have pretty good information that Joseph and Oliver baptized each other on May 15th, 1829. But we don't have good information on when the Melchizedek priesthood was restored, because that was done after the appearance of the baptism was done under the authority of the Aaronic priesthood with John the Baptist. And so I've heard it June of 1829, I've heard June of 1830, which would be after the organization of the church, and I've also heard 1831, probably June again. I think we're pretty good on the month, we just don't know the year. So could you weigh in on that information?
Well, just in the sense that we're dealing with the April 6, 1830 meeting, and we're dealing with stuff that's very early. And what we find is that after the Book of Commandments, the publication was stopped. It was the
Book of Commandments was published in 1832, is that right?
It was in press. In July of 1833, when a group of citizens of Independence broke into the print shop and scattered the type, there were pages that had already been printed, and so a number of individuals gathered them up, including a couple of ladies who. The young girls who gathered up some pages, and so they eventually put them together. There was 160 pages, little makeshift, very small pocketbooks, and they were used by a number of people. So that's the first official publication, but it wasn't like complete. The last revelation was not complete because they destroyed the press at that time. The press was used, you know, years later anyway, but not by the Latter-day Saints. So the Book of Commandments is the one that has those six revelations given in Manchester on April 6, 1830. That's why we know that it was very early, and now we know that there was a manuscript book that John Whitmer kept, and that's the source of setting the type for the small Book of Commandments. And one of the revelations copied in there, because these are copies of revelations, in most cases we don't even have the originals for that very early period. But for one of them, they did say Fayette, Seneca County. But when Oliver Cowdery and W. Phelps and John Whitmer were helping set the type and print the Book of Commandments, that revelation definitely says Manchester. So they were given authority to make any corrections, for the revelations and everything. So as far as, this idea of Peter, James, and John, there is no known early mention of that. But when the revelations were next published in a book called The Doctrine and Covenants, then you'd find revelations wording which had been changed, added to, not all of them, just a selected number of the revelations were changed. And the 35 Doctrine and Covenants also had the lectures on theology, which is known as the lectures on faith, which Sidney Rigdon probably had a good hand in those lectures that were given to the elders of the church. So the first published Peter, James, and John is found in what was now termed the Doctrine and Covenants section 27. So the Book of Commandments would have these revelations as chapters. The Doctrine and Covenants would have them as sections. And so that's where you find a few hundred words added to this revelation given on September 4th, 1830. And that's where you find, that Peter, James, and John. And it's after they ordained the 12 apostles in 1835. So there's always a development and a change. The 35 Doctrine and Covenants is, if we're going to use it in more modern terms, so like the first church handbook of instructions. At that time, they didn't worry too much about dates or even locations. This is the type of what members of the church should believe. So if you want to know what they believe on Peter, James, and John, you go to that section, which was at that time was section 50, which today is section 27. So it was more of a manual. In fact, when they published the second section, which is the minutes of the High Council, they had the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. You'll find that. But even there, where you have minutes that were kept in 1834, where they recorded the notes, they read them over, just like any minutes, you make any corrections, suggestions, alterations. Anyway, they approved all that in 1834. Mm-hmm. But in 1835, they add a little paragraph dealing with the 12 apostles, the traveling high council. So it's not like they were going to say that's what was received, the minutes of 1834. Now this is what was published in 35. And so the same with Peter, James, and John. It was published in 35. And so it's like B.H. Roberts says, there is no known account of Peter, James, and John. In fact, even the idea of Melchizedek priesthood, even though it's in Hebrews and the Book of Mormon, that was in June 1831, where they conferred the Melchizedek priesthood upon elders, and that was all like the office of high priest.
An elder was like the office of high priest.
The high priesthood was like the office of high priest. So an elder, if you go backwards, would be an elder in the church. And according to the Articles and Covenants, an elder is an apostle. An apostle is an elder. So these are, just like any organization, there's a development over time. Mm-hmm.
So, because if I remember right, there were only three offices when the church was organized on April 6, 1830. Teacher, priest, and elder. And so there's a question as to whether Elder was part of the Aaronic priesthood or the Melchizedek priesthood.
Yeah, there was no priesthood at that time.
It was just the priesthood.
There was no priesthood.
There was no priesthood.
No, it was an office in the church. The Articles and Covenants mentions the elder, priest, teacher, and deacon.
See, I thought deacon, I swear Greg Prince told me deacon was added later.
It's in the early manuscripts, so if it was added, so be it. But
if I remember right, I believe Greg Prince told me this. He said that there were just the three that I just mentioned, teacher, priest, elder, that they were all considered Aaronic priesthood. And then when Sidney Rigdon joined, 6 months later, Sidney said there should be an office of bishop and a deacon. And so then those were added after Sidney. In fact, I believe he told me Sidney Rigdon was the first one to ordain a bishop, because he said that we had to have a bishop in the church.
Well, the office of a bishop is in the New Testament, the same as deacon.
Right.
But there was...
But you don't see bishop in the Book of Mormon.
There's no bishop in the Book of Mormon. There's no deacon, true.
Right.
But
yeah.
We do have... We have... baptismal prayers, we have ordination prayers mm-hmm. in the Book of Mormon. And that's where the early Church of Christ came out of that, the Book of Mormon.
Yeah,
they're following that and the ordination to an office. In fact, Hiram Smith kept very close to that wording, and he even ordained the individuals when he gave, men who received patriarchal blessings. He would ordain them once in a while within the patriarchal blessing. So in the Book of Moroni and the Book of Mormon, spells that out. But these things are so early. So for example, the simple thing, the name of the church, Church of Christ, the wording of the baptismal prayer, assuming that you have to use those actual words. That wording was changed in the 1835 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants. So a lot of these things have, over time, have changed. It's just like the sacrament, Lord's Supper, Eucharist, bread and wine. There was an instance where, that particular time, it didn't matter if you used wine or not, but that was just for that time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have their, gospel hobbies,
mm-hmm.
and so you have people trying to push their idea of what the scriptures, what the Latter-day revelations mean. And sometimes we just don't even know, because there's no commentary at that early time. But to bring this all about, the April 6, 1830 meeting was in Manchester. It was not in Palmyra. It was not in Fayette. The baptisms were there, the revelations were there, and the only reason to change either the name of the church or the location would be, we must change it for a certain reason. And from what I've gathered, I think the financial reason is the closest we can get to it. What percent? We don't know. We don't have those IOUs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty hard to get people to go 25 miles an hour just to witness some baptisms that they're not interested in. And so you can have, in these books, even today, you look at Warden Porter Rockwell. Well, where was he baptized? What location? Well, of course, You go to the manuscript history, because that's the only one that has a list of the first few months of who's baptized. And of course, he's baptized in Fayette. But then you can read places where it says Manchester, but he wasn't there. And the same thing with Joseph Sr. He was baptized in Manchester, and when you read these little notes, given a little short little sketch of their life, they'll have, you know, Fayette, Seneca County. And so it's a small deal, but, you know, you look on history, you know, it's not in Scripture. It's just history. You know, how were they struggling to get it? And if you actually looked at that draft of the manuscript history, you would probably wonder what they're really doing with all the cross outs, with all these speaking in tongues, all this other stuff that was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably lucky we even have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
So the April 6th is this, you know, that's all these restoration churches go back. And if you stop and say, well, where was it organized? Then they have to think of where, you know, what did they want to say, what their official position is, rather than, you know, what does history show? I mean, that's why I'm interested in history, because, hey, you know, where was that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have all the answers? Well, no, but golly, I think we have enough.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the Melchizedek priesthood thing then, was the church organized, you know, and this might be projecting back in time a little bit, but would you say that the church, that Joseph Smith had the Melchizedek priesthood in 1830 when the church was organized, or was that after?
We don't know. What we do know is that he was an elder. It was, according to the history, he was told that he was to ordain Oliver Cowdery, and Oliver Cowdery was to ordain Joseph Smith as an apostle and prophet and seer. And that's a revelation given on April 6th in Manchester that states that.
Okay.
And that's what that happens.
So that would tend toward the 1829 date then, probably.
The only thing we know is that, you know, they did baptize each other.
Yeah, in May.
In May. There were some other baptisms, one in May. There was a few of the Whitmer family in June. I believe Hiram Smith was
June
also,
of 1829.
Yeah. So there's some before the church organization.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have authority. The authority that the early holders of offices in the church would be that they were called by the Spirit or whatever. It was not this, you know, trying to get back to the original apostles or ideas of who held the priesthood in mm-hmm. New Testament or Book of Mormon times. It's only after you have 12 ordained apostles.
And that was 1835, right?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
And in fact, in the, you know, Bill Shepherd and myself, we did that book on lost apostles,
mm-hmm.
and that mentions, you know, 1835.
I need to talk to Bill again. I want to get him on the podcast.
And there, of course, just to give an example, the three witnesses were to get the names of the apostles, and in a revelation in June 1829. They only mentioned David Whitmer and Oliver Cowdery, but in 1835, they added Martin Harris. And Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer have stated that they chose Phineas Young as one of the apostles. And so if that was going to go forward, you would have three sets of brothers, young brothers.
So the Brigham, Joseph, and Phineas
Johnson, yeah.
Okay.
But Joseph Smith persuaded them to choose his brother William
instead of Phineas Young.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
But that's, you know, that's part of the development.
That was a mistake, don't you think?
That's what a lot of people thought. Yeah.
Phineas was probably a better choice than William, I would say. I don't know Phineas very well, but I know William was a mess.
Yeah. But that just shows you that there's a lot of things different over mm-hmm. this period of time. It isn't more like it was just yesterday. It was, you know, there was a development. In fact, there's usually always a development, which is not necessarily wrong. It's just as the organization gets larger, they would, you know, ordain 12 apostles, mm-hmm. even though they were told in June of 29, years earlier, to, you know, choose them. It wasn't until 1835 that was done.
Mm-hmm. So you said there were almost three sets of brothers. So you had Joseph Young and Brigham Young were two sets, or a set of brothers. You had William Smith.
No, you have Orson Pratt and Parley P.
Orson
Pratt.
Orson and Parley P. Pratt, okay.
You have Lyman Johnson and Luke Johnson.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Michael Marquardt. Our next segment will be our last with Michael, and it's going to be available only to newsletter subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed, please go to gospeltangents.com/newsletter and enter today. I'll send you a secret link to the final part of our conversation with Michael Marquardt. And here's a preview of what we'll be talking about.
And I should mention that, you know, when these missionaries went out to preach, in like 1832, for an example, because we have newspaper accounts of what they're actually preaching at the time, mainly Book of Mormon, when they went to the homes, New Testament.
We'll have a transcript out shortly on this conversation, and you can purchase individual copies at our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. If you want to be the first to get a copy, please subscribe on our website for just $10 a month. I'll send it to you first as a PDF. Or if you'd like a physical copy, for $15 a month, I'll be happy to send that to you as well. You can get our transcripts at our Amazon.com author page. I've got a link here, but just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview and you should be able to find a bunch of them there. Please subscribe at patreon.com/gospeltangents. For $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview uncut. And for $10, you can get a PDF copy. We've also got a $15 tier where if you want a physical copy, I'll be the first to send it to you. So please subscribe at Patreon or on our website at gospeltangents.com as well. For our latest updates, please like our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. And also check our Twitter updates at Gospel Tangents as well. Please subscribe on our Apple Podcasts page at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. Or you can subscribe on your Android device. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.